In the way of Apostle Paul, we will ask that may the peace of God be with you, peace from our God and from our Lord Jesus Christ. We will quieten around the word of God around the during the last speech of this Opus Dei services, and then after this, there will be the closing words, which we can also hear. Right there. Is there anyone in this word, in this hearing of this word, these kinds of youth who have been in confirmation school this summer? Or perhaps you're still going to go to confirmation. I will, for the introduction to this sermon, I will read a very short text, which is familiar to you. It is like homework and taught to you in confirmation. And it is written in the Gospel of John in the 3rd chapter, verse 16. And I'll read these words in Jesus' name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. We haven't been able to, for several days, to be here, the spoken word of God, and in the hearing of this word of God. In preparation for this sermon, I thought many times that there's certainly everything said already. All those thoughts that I have thought for this speech, they have come many times already. They have been heard many times. But I thought, dear brothers and sisters, nevertheless, that certainly your prayer of heart is this, that nothing new would come, but that familiar and same familiar word of God. So as a listener, I have felt that it is secure when it is the same. But in doubts and temptations, I have come before you. And in the very beginning, for encouragement, I would ask you, can such as I believe my sins forgiven? And I want to believe. Is there anyone in the hearing of God's word perhaps the parents of small children, mothers and fathers, who, when these services are coming to an end, you notice that now the services have gone by. I haven't hardly at all been able to listen to God's word. It went in the taking care of the children and all the functions that need to be done when we are living this camp life at these kinds of services. It is involves a lot of work. I remember this, and sometimes frustration is close. In the very beginning, I want to bring you the greetings of heaven. You can, believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. You can be of a secure and happy heart. The motto for these services, that I will trust in thy grace, is very teaching. And you can trust in this, that this grace of God belongs to you also. It belongs to all of us. Is there a youth here that has realized that I have very little sat and listened when there are so much other nice things to do? You also can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Good that you have come to these services. And you mothers and fathers, it's good that you have brought your children and your youth here to the hearing of God's word, to these services. And so Jesus instructed us, allow the children to come unto me and prevent them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. This very familiar short portion of God's word tells of the love of God, of God's grace and his love, which we have heard much in these services. God loves his created man. He has created man for heaven, and God's will is that all people would reach heaven and him, reach him in heaven. When God created man, he created them in his own image, and for this reason, and just for that reason, that there is this longing for heaven in man. As we have many times dealt with in these services, the creation story. I thought that I could briefly repeat some of this, of the creation work when man was created in this portion of the book, the letter or the book of Genesis seems to be very proper for this time. And I will read from the book of Genesis that God said that let us make man. And we'll make man in our image as we are. And he will take And the Lord put man in the Garden of Eden to care for it. But of I'm sorry, I can't find the portion to read here. And so God created man in his own image as man and woman. And we remember when an uninvited guest came to paradise, the enemy of souls in the form of a serpent. Who was able to make them question the word of God, which caused the greatest accident to mankind when the first pair fell into sin. And this accident was so complete and great. And this good that God had created in man disappeared. And Paul writes in the book to the Romans, gives a quite a coarse picture of the man, Paul, man, sin fallen man of all man. And it is written, there is no righteous, no, not one. There is not one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have fallen away and become unacceptable. There is no one who does good, no, not one. Nevertheless, then we remember what happened afterwards in paradise after the fall into sin. The man became so corrupted, as Paul says, that there is no one that seeks God. Adam and Eve did not know how to seek God. They hid themselves. But God, in his great love, sought this sin-fallen human pair and promised them the promise of the gospel, that that who will be born that will crush the head of the serpent. And it was the first gospel, promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this, on top of this promise of the gospel, the old believers of the Old Testament believed. And when they wanted to believe on this promise, they received their sins forgiven. This gospel, the prophets preached all the way until then, that to this happened on the first Christmas in the fields in Bethlehem. Is brought to these believing shepherds this joyous message, this message of the gospel, that this promise has been fulfilled, that a Redeemer has been born, which is Christ the Lord in the city of David. When Jesus became older and grew to an adult, for 3 years, he traveled and called man unto repentance, called them into God's kingdom, and did miracles also that man would believe. Then came the time of Passover or Easter, when Jesus came to accomplish that which he was created for, that God promised already in paradise, that through the suffering of Christ and his death, and above all, from his victorious resurrection, he fulfilled the promise of this promise of the gospel. And this joyous message, this message of the gospel, came from the empty grave, traveled from this empty grave. And the disciples brought this joyously forward. They went to bring it according to the commandment of Christ to the people outside of the people of Israel. Go and make all people my disciples. And they gave the keys of the forgiveness of sins. He sins ye forgive, they are forgiven in heaven also. This same gospel, this joyous message of the gospel, has been heard and is still heard in God's kingdom. It has been heard here at these Opistos services. Why does this joyous message of the gospel, why is it good to proclaim it? Isn't it so? When Jesus is died for on behalf of all man and has atoned for the sins of all mankind, that all mankind could go to heaven on this basis. Why do we have to proclaim? Why do we have to speak of these matters? Our text gives us the answer. That God has so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And the most central matter is faith comes from this faith. Without faith, it is impossible to be acceptable to God. When he who wants to come to God must believe. This portion of the Bible is in connection with this discussion with Jesus had with the Pharisees, with Nicodemus, who approached Jesus in the night and gave him a good compliment that he was did these miracles and he was a good teacher. I would think in this way that Nicodemus that he would like to accept Jesus as the same kind of believer as he was. And Nicodemus felt himself to be a believer and he knew the scriptures. And as the Pharisees were in the habit of, they tried to observe these scriptures and see that everybody else did too. But Jesus gave clearly this understanding that we are not believing in the same way. Jesus began to teach Nicodemus how a man would get into God's kingdom. A person who is on the outside comes into God's kingdom only through new birth. And this did not become enlightened to Nicodemus after this this discussion. The Bible gives us to understand that they had different understandings of faith. Jesus did not, or Nicodemus did not understand this gift of faith. It has to be a faith that looks as explained in the Bible. And we know that the Word of God which is contained in this Bible, the written Word of God, is like a two-edged sword. There's the law and there's the gospel. The law has its own duty. Namely, in the book of Romans, Paul, a bit later, writes in this way, "Now God is not connected to the law, which the law and the prophets have signified. This righteousness comes from Jesus Christ, and you all who believe can possess this. So all are in the same level or in the same position, this faith on Jesus Christ." Our teacher of the doctrine, Martin Luther, teaches that Christ is the king of the scriptures and the Lord of the scriptures, and these gospels are in the gospels of Christ. And the message of the gospel at Christ is the red thread that goes from the beginning pages of the Bible to the end. And the teachings of Jesus Christ, as we remember, as the message is, the congregation is a central matter in the teachings of Jesus. And those who want to seek Christ and come to him, they must find the kingdom of God, because Jesus lives there in the midst of God's kingdom. Nowhere else he can be found. How can a person receive this faith? We know from the teachings of the Bible that every child is born into this world as a believer, as a child of God, as a believer. But many times it goes in this way, that if this child does not receive this living nourishment, the faith will dry up and then be snuffed out. But a person can find the kingdom of God and receive this gift of faith again, in this way that Jesus taught Nicodemus to be newborn, through new birth. When a person hears the word of God and accepts it, that faith is born from the hearing of God's word. Faith cannot be born in any other way. It doesn't isn't born through prayer. It doesn't come in baptism. It doesn't come in communion. I cannot be without returning to the yesterday evening's very touching communion occasion. I thought there when I was to personally able to pause and enjoy the body and blood of Christ, which was given and shed for me, it strengthens a faith. And dear travel friends, isn't it such a experience that it strengthens faith? But even at this holy meal, we want to come to it with a believing heart. As we have been used to coming to it before kneeling at the table, we have wanted to cleanse our travel garments through the gospel of the forgiveness of sins for ourselves. And then it feels good to kneel at the communion table. At this meal of commemoration of what Jesus Christ, how he had given his body and blood for us. And for you youth, I want to encourage you, whenever there is a possibility, that you would take this possibility to go to the communion, to the Lord's Holy Supper. What does this faith affect in man? Our Christian doctrine, which is nice to quote from now on, says this, that when through grace our sins are forgiven, it ignites love and thankfulness and obedience of faith in our hearts. And these can get us to serve God and man. It causes love. And love to serve. And even at these services, we have been able to notice that we have been served in many ways. God has given to his children this kind of love, a mind of love, that they have served the other children of God, and we have been well here. And God has blessed us. It also affects this thankfulness. And there's a lot of reason to be thankful. When we have this gift of faith. And it also affects the obedience of faith. And perhaps we can pause around this for a moment. What is the obedience of faith? Perhaps during this time, it may not be so trendy. It seems like this time is so centered on oneself that there can't be an authority. But we, dear brothers and sisters, have this word of God of the Bible is an authority to which we want to be obedient, and we want to believe according to it. by this humble prayer in my, as the psalm writer says, Lord, show me the way, your way. And during this time, as we have spoken and heard during these latter times, this word of God has been questioned. If man wants to warn of sin, that person may experience emotional violence. Isn't it, dear children of God, when we have been able to believe for our sins forgiven by grace, and through the eyes of faith we have been able to see, don't we experience this, that it is the great grace of God a certain young person becoming adult told me how thankful he is of this, or she, that at home they had been taught the ABCs of faith. It is so concretely told how believers live, how a believer functions, what is fitting for a believer, when one doesn't always understand. As a young person understand and not always as an adult, and why something is taught in God's kingdom. Is it just so? Are there needs to change this teaching? This youth experience this thankfulness. That he has been able to, this gift, faith has been preserved in him, and he has been able to be obedient. Many of his people of his same age have gone into the world. Dear youth, I want to encourage you and remind you of this. That mothers and fathers have given good instruction. Listen to them. Dear travel friends, there's such a one in the hearing of this word, this a believer, a traveler of heaven, who has doubted that, will I reach the destination? Will the grace of God be enough for this such a weak one, a weak child of God? I want to encourage you here in this last sermon that the grace of God is enough, and you can trust this. You can believe these vain thoughts and doubts and temptations forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, in atonement blood, which has flowed to the ground, and you can be of secure mind. Perhaps you have, at these services, experienced loneliness and have felt in this way that did it pay to come here? Does it pay to come here anymore when there aren't any escorts? And pray to the Heavenly Father that he would give friends. And in the midst of these temptations, you can be encouraged to believe securely, your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And you who fight against these very strong battles with of faith, and the enemy of the soul is trying to drag you to him, put you also this sin away, but don't throw faith away. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of forgiveness, and it is enough for you. You can believe just as you feel yourself to be, all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. If someone listening somewhere on media about this sermon, about this grace, and if you're not a partaker of this grace, who don't feel this peace in your heart, I encourage you. The Lord Jesus has suffered and died for your on your behalf, and he has atoned for your sins on also, and he is at the right hand of the Heavenly Father praying also for you, that you could reach this heavenly joy. I encourage you to believe, just as you feel yourself and in the place where you are from this general sermon, you can believe unbelief and all your sins forgiven in the holy name of Jesus and in his atonement blood. And you can go and start travel with the God's kingdom, journeying towards that one beautiful destination of heaven. This which John was able to see, and his vision of this white-robed throng. There, God will wipe the last tears away. Death will never not be anymore. No sorrows, no complaining, no tribulation. There is eternal joy. Many travel friends have been able to change to here, and many have been able to move on. And many of these dear ones and close ones, maybe who have just recently been able to lay down the travel staff of faith and have reached the destination, and this memory carries us and encourages us to believe. In the very end here, I would still like to remind you of the people who have arranged these services this year. You have seen a lot of work. You have done a lot of work here during these beforehand and also during these services. And it could be that you haven't been able to listen a lot to these services, and it may seem that this gospel has not been able to moisten your dry heart. And I encourage you to believe, all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. You who have served us, the writers to the Hebrews writes, remembers you. God is not unworthy, and that he would forget your deeds and your love that you have shown towards his name when you have served his saints and you still serve them. And God, and Paul writes to the Corinthians, do this work diligently, and God will not let your work be in vain. This precious work of God's kingdom you have done, and we still can do this work in these big services, and also in the home Zion, in the midst of the home Zion. It is valuable work. And let us remain in the grace care of God's word. In Jesus' name, amen.